B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli Show is 4 o'clock hour, brought to you by Landis Bach, your one-stop shop. To create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Check him out online at landispc.com. Gary Bettman at 4:30 live NHL presser, where he's going to announce the league's plans to replay hockey. Flyers are in a good spot. They don't have to worry about the playing games, all the aggravation. They get a bye. So that's all good. Yeah. How the Flyers will come out of it is another question. But, you know, I think they'll be fine. I just don't hope, you know, they were on a roll, and teams on a roll, you hate to see play stop where they, you know, file down a little bit.
You're absolutely right about that. That's scary. I do think I'm glad that they're a younger team, because the Flyers have been an aging team for a long time. I wonder if their legs get more pep in it quicker than, let's say, the Penguins, for example. I wonder.
Yeah, I'd almost rather be in a Sixers spot than the Flyers spot, though. The way I've seen sports, layoffs hurt teams on a roll more than, and I think the teams that have time to review how they've not played well enough get this mindset of it's the exact opposite position. And I'd almost rather be the Sixers.
You're probably right. Plus, the coaches' staff has said they've gone over every single offensive and defensive possession of the entire season on the Sixers side during this time off. What else are you going to do now? And the Flyers, if teams are doing that, they're doing it almost to stop the Flyers because they were playing so well.
Yes. All right, let's get back to the phone. Let's talk to Kevin in Delaware. What's up, Kev?
Mike, how you doing, Mike?
Good, Kevin.
Hey, about wearing masks, you know, for me, when I see the numbers that of people that have died in this country and other countries, that's enough for me. To
wear a mask.
You know, yeah. That's enough for me. I don't need anything else, Mike. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just don't get it. How I know people like to divide these on political lines, and I don't understand why. It's the prudent thing to do. There's no politics to a prudent thing to do. Like, what?
Right.
I just don't get it.
Me either, Mike. What about wearing? I mean, I don't know if we can do this, but if we can make masks with team logos on it.
Yeah, I've seen a few of those already.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, they're out. You can get those.
That might help, you know?
Yeah.
That's all I got, Mike.
All right, Kevin, you got it. Yeah, the team logo masks have been out.
Yeah, they're so popular. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have been on back order. They can't even keep up with the demand because so many people are ordering the team masks.
Yeah. By the way, the Tiger Phil thing prompted me to buy some tickets.
To what?
For the charity. That charity, the All In charity.
Oh, which one?
Oh, that's nice.
What'd you do?
Yeah,
which thing?
Well, the putting lesson with Tiger.
That'd be fun.
Oh, boy.
And the actual playing with Phil.
That'd be neat.
That's the right choice. Because you don't want to play with Tiger.
Man, the putting with Tiger, that would be fascinating.
Yeah, I get 500 chances to win.
What would you say to him?
I threw him, you know, 500 tickets.
I got you.
What
would you guys talk about?
Like, Tiger? He's got you up on there. He's working on you.
Yeah.
Putting green.
Listen, Tiger could really help my putting game. So I would listen very intently.
Would you ask him any other questions?
Nah, I'm going
to
be
talk to him about life.
I'm all about the golf now.
But if he started going into other stuff on his own, like away from
family
and stuff.
Which he never would.
Yeah, you don't know that for sure. Like, well, there's no cameras, there's no phones.
Yeah, I would engage him in personal chat.
Talk to about stuff.
I got my ears filled on how I'm going to putt.
Like, if he asked you Bennigan's or Perkins, would you tell him which one you prefer?
Is Bennigan still around?
Yes, I would actually enjoy any conversation with Tiger.
All right. That would be, I kind of want you
would
to
say,
win.
Listen, man, now that we're all, you know, best friends here, why do you have to be such a snit your whole career?
See,
and he would
sure
say,
that would go for
he
a while.
Would say something like, you see the Michael Jordan thing? I go, yeah, he goes, well, that's why. To be truly great, I had to conduct myself that way.
Well, at the end, you can say, hey, Mike, if he says at the end, what do you do? And you tell him, perhaps you could get him to come on before each of the majors every year. Tiger four times a year.
I would try to smooth those relations with him.
Because so you're can, already at can, Taste of the
I,
Masters.
I could have him on speed dial.
So I'm saying you're already at Taste of the Masters anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I would just do a little thing with Tiger.
Exactly. I would do that.
All right.
Yeah. Now playing with Phil would probably be fun.
Yes.
A lot more fun.
For sure.
So I took a shot.
And he has an interest in wine, like you do.
Yeah. I couldn't get in for a long time, though. It was really tough to get in. As that was playing, because they advertised those two.
People were probably, the website was jammed.
Yeah, I couldn't register for it. It took me a while to register in.
Glad you got in.
Ian in Newark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ian.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
Now, what's going on, Ian?
You're talking about people not wearing masks right now. You kind of answered the question already. I think you said it before. People hate being told what to do. It's a control thing. Now, on a lot of those videos that you sent on your Twitter and on YouTube, 90% of it that caused the most problems are women on the videos. I've seen more women not wearing masks. So for Tyrone to say toxic mask, what's the answer for the women not wearing masks then? That video you just sent was a woman. So I don't know what Tyrone's trying to get at the guys for when it's more women.
There's a lot of women that are fighting it as well.
Yeah,
it's funny about
like you guys are saying it's just men. It's not just men. I've seen a party yesterday, all women not worrying about anything about the
excuse me, just because you're seeing it on social media, it's like a 90-10. It's a 9-1
more,
ratio.
That's obviously
my thing is, Tyrone made it look like it's just all men not wearing masks.
What are you doing? Are you protecting manhood here?
No, it's not that. Because I wear a mask because I agree with a lot of things.
But why would you be offended women weren't included? Is this a word of sexist here or what?
No, it's more that I've seen more women because I think nowadays because you already answered the question. People hate being told what to do, and I think you go to sporting events, you go to these youth sports. I'm just saying in general, people are entitled. Now you talk about the oceans, people going to the ocean, the boardwalk. Guess what? Those people, a lot of those people come from money. Guess what? They're entitled people. That's why they don't wear a mask.
Let's look at it this way, right? Forget the entitlement because let's break it down fundamentally. If you have, if you had like the flu, not this, but you had the flu before, your doctor says what? Stay in bed, drink plenty of liquids, blah, blah, right? That's what they say.
Right.
They're being told what to do by a medical professional. Now, when they have the flu, are they going out, playing hula hoop in the street?
So
that doesn't make any sense to me. If they tell you they don't like being told what to do, they've been told what to do many times in their life. What makes this so special?
Let me get this point out. So say I go out without a mask, right? And I wear a mask all the time. The guys that Tyrone's kind of referring to, they will call me a sheep because I listen to everything the government, because I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, so all you got to do is say, listen, man, I hope you don't get sick for the sake of your family. Be real polite. Exactly. That's what I say on Twitter to people who come back at me. I hope you don't get sick.
But I love your guys' show. The thing is, I just took that the wrong way.
Yeah, but you were standing up for men. You didn't like the fact that you were down on men.
But here's there are absolutely women that are doing it, and that's going viral. But every study, every survey shows that women are far more amenable to wearing it than men.
Yeah.
It's a cute video. And don't get me wrong, there's women and it goes viral and all the Karen stuff's all out there. But it's the men in the majority. Just because you see it on social media doesn't mean that's everybody.
In any, it's amazing to me. Like, you've been told what to do so many times medically, like, you can't even count, right? From the time you've grown up through now adulthood, there's always been a doctor who has been telling you what not to do or what to do. What's this any different? These are medical professionals who understand the issue more than you. Just like in a regular visit to a doctor's office, they tell you don't do this, you don't do that because you trust the fact that that's their valued medical opinion. What's the difference here? Why do you have to turn it into a tug of war? I just don't get it.
Also, after 9/11, and whether we agree with it or not, they're taking the shoes off. None of us like it, right? Mm-hmm. But if you want to get on the plane, you take your shoes off when you go through security. For safety, public safety is the reason that they say that it is. There have been shoe bombers, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're saying for the public safety, you wear a mask. I don't understand how, if you fly and you're okay with taking your shoes off and all that kind of stuff in order to fly a private airline, why won't you wear a mask to go to a private business? To me, I don't understand the pushback. I don't get it.
If you go to a Japanese restaurant, they could ask you to take off the shoes, right?
Right. Yeah, it's the custom.
And Donnie Brasco.
Mm-hmm.
It is necessary.
Then again, Frank Costanza.
Well, then, you know, that Mr. Moto found out in the bathroom that it wasn't that necessary. Donnie Brasco. Ken in Plainfield, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah. How are you doing, Mike?
What's
that
up,
was a
Ken?
Pretty good one, the Japanese restaurant.
Donnie Brasco?
Tyrone got basically everything I said about, he was going to say about the bird lady, okay, with the dog. Mm-hmm. She got fired. It was a bird sanctuary that they, you know, where they were at, and the dog's supposed to be on the leash. But as far as masks, I wear a mask, okay? And I wear one until they say stop wearing them. I can. And I tell you one thing, I will not take a vaccine. That's one thing I won't do, okay? So I'm not trying anything. I'm not going to any games. I can sit at home and watch it, you know, comfortably sit at home, smoke a cigar, watch a game. I don't care. I'm not taking any vaccine.
Well, let me ask you, why wouldn't you take a vaccine?
I wouldn't take a vaccine because, simple fact, there's probably got to be like several different vaccines for it to work. Okay. I'm like 60 and over. Okay. So I'm not going to take one. All right. Because the first one's going to come out, it's going to be generic. And plus, too, so many of these companies that rush into a vaccine are just doing it just for the money, because the government's throwing billions of dollars at them and other governments as well to get one out here. So they don't even know if it's going to work.
This is almost like the hydroxychloroquine.
Exactly.
So you're telling me that if they do develop an approved vaccine, approved by all medical organizations, including the FDA, you would not take it because why? Because you think
it
would
be... I don't believe in vaccines. But, I don't even take the flu vaccine.
Okay, but if there is evidence that this can help and won't hurt, why would you not take it? Because you think it would hurt?
I just don't think that it's going to do any good. And honestly, I think I had...
Well, what would you have to lose? Then go back to the hydroxy argument. We know what you had to lose there. There were the terrible side effects that were killing people. If this vaccine comes out and it's completely, it immunes you from this virus that could kill you, you still wouldn't take it.
I still wouldn't take it. And the reason being, because many scientists have said, you just can't make one vaccine. There's got to be one for different segments of the population. Okay, one for kids.
But if there was proof that it couldn't hurt you but make you immune, you would not take it.
I tell you what, the only reason I would take it is if I couldn't fly, because I like to travel, all right? So I fly a lot. So,
well, it's not really answering the question. Like, if a vaccine came out, I don't know, maybe... Because this is the argument, like, if people are going to trip me up with it.
What are you saying, the hydroxy?
Well, the hydroxy wasn't, it had dangerous side effects to it that medical professionals warned against. Now, if that happens to a vaccine, then it's not really a vaccine. You see what I'm saying? If it's a vaccine, it's going to take care of the problem.
Well, and normally vaccines of any kind, they go through that intense like phase.
Yeah, there are anti-vaccine people out there.
Yeah, the phase testing. Yeah.
Yeah, like when Martinez used to work here, was an anti-vac.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I didn't really get the explanation.
I mean,
I just kind of said, oh.
There is something to be said for modern medicine and the advancement that it's made in society, so I don't like to really...
For me personally,
none of my business what other people do, but don't come near me.
As I've gotten older, the flu shot has helped me.
Mm-hmm.
In this field, we don't really, that's a flu seasons. A lot of that's football and a lot of the seasons we don't want to miss work.
Right.
And I've had a lot of good success taking it versus the years when I didn't have the flu vaccine. So I think personally that it seems to work, but
yeah,
okay.
Well, like this thing has been proven to be so much deadlier than anything else that I don't understand anybody who wouldn't take it you know, just like our president advised on hydroxy, what do you have to lose? Well, we found out we had to lose that there.
Well, and they'll... And whenever the vaccine comes out, they'll know the side effects. They should have a good idea of the side effects. They might not be the long-term side effects, which I think could raise some questions. Mm-hmm. But they'll know what happens because that's why they go through phases of clinical trials.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yes. All right. One line is just open. Somebody just hung up. So 616-220-975. Jay and Chalfont. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, Mike? How are you
doing? Good.
All right. Really quickly, concerning the lady in New York, you said you would never think to videotape.
No, in the situation that was explained to me, I absolutely would video it. But I'm saying, like right out of the shoot, why would you turn your camera on somebody? So, I would get into an argument with her without thinking to turn on my camera.
So probably 15 years ago, I wouldn't have thought this, but now in the climate that we're in, as a black man, I tape everything.
Yeah,
tape
and you're probably right about that, and that's something that I obviously was trying to bring up, that this is what it's like being a black man in America.
Absolutely, because, you know, interactions with police, interactions with people like that lady can get you killed, and clearly what she was trying to do is weaponize her whiteness and use the police as her personal enforcers,
right?
Because she was upset with the guy,
yes,
right, and so that is incredibly dangerous, and so yes, we many black people, particularly black men, have begun the practice of taping all interactions, because as we've seen so many times, when there is no video evidence available, or they don't think there's video evidence available, the narrative usually is way different than what actually happened. How many times have we heard a police report about one thing, and then we see the video years later or months later, and it clearly is way different, right?
Yeah. I'm absolutely on your side. My comment, it was like, okay, I have a camera. Here's a woman who doesn't have her dog on a leash. Let me video it. That was the premise I was coming from, without knowing the full details of why that camera was turned on.
Absolutely. And the second point I wanted to make is regarding the masks and people. Well, first of all, the vaccine, I think Natalie alluded to it. Clinical trials are what's key. And I hope that's what that previous gentleman was trying to say, and he just wasn't able to articulate it. Because again, you do want to at least hold off until the clinical trial results come back before you jump into a vaccine. But obviously, if it's going to protect myself and protect others, then obviously we have to get it. The last point about the masks, again, the climate that we're in, people are actually politicizing masks, Mike. And so, if you are wearing a mask, you know, there are places in the South, and I don't want to rip on the South, but there are places in the South where they actually have signs up telling people not to wear masks because it's sort of in defiance of what, you know, the political divide in this country. So it's sad to say that the idea of protecting yourself and others has taken on a political tone. But that is essentially what we're talking about here. The same people who talk about their rights being infringed, right, as you just pointed out, have no problem taking off their shoes or putting on shoes or whatever it is required for them to get to do what they want to
do. Oh, exactly. No, that's a great call, Jay. I appreciate it. Now, I try to bring this up. That simple episode where I was leaving work the other day. And what I started thinking about is I looked in my rearview mirror, you being stopped at that light.
Yeah.
And I started saying, like, as a black man in America, like, I go, okay, this light is holding me up. And there must be something wrong. So I go through it like an idiot. And I'm thinking, okay, Tyrone's viewpoint would be, as a black man in America, you can't even give people, you can't even give the police a reason to stop you. You can't even think about, you want to avoid that at all costs. So that would never go through your head to do something like that.
You're absolutely right. It's just different. Oh, okay, like I've been back to running again during this pandemic. So I post the runs, some for accountability. The other reason I post them on social media is so that no one in the neighborhood, some people know who I am. Some people, because we're on NBC Sports Philadelphia, we're on 97.5. Some people are aware of who I am, Sixers outsiders. I want to make it very clear if I'm running near your house that I'm exercising and I'm not doing something wrong. So I posted a lot, hoping that the word gets out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Bordentown cops have been great. Some of them have actually cheered me on when I run past them.
Yeah.
But I know it only takes one person being shook one day.
Yeah.
To try to, and it stinks that I have to think about that, but I have to actively think about that every time before I get up in the morning to run. Which place can I go?
And
which
that's
place?
The,
every day I think about it.
That's something that people don't think enough of white people. They don't think of that side. It never has occurred to them.
That's
how you have to live.
Well,
as a different race.
And the implications of that woman and her phone call, and what would have happened if there was no video and the cops came out, right, and she said, he attacked me. They would have taken him in.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been arrested, probably put in handcuffs, taken down to wherever they take them in New York City. You know what I mean?
It's a holiday, so now you're spending the night.
And because she lied. And that man who was innocent and was a bird watcher would spend the holiday weekend in the roundhouse, mm-hmm, in New York City because this woman lied?
Yeah.
It's so troubling. Yeah. It is.
Let's go to Ardmore. Gene, you're on 97.5 Smack. What's up, Gene?
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hello, Gene.
And I am the test tube baby. Now, because of that, I've been in the hospital the last 10 days. And in here, everybody wears a mask. I don't have to wear a mask when I'm in the room. But when they transfer me down for a test, I wear the mask.
Wait, you're in the hospital because of the virus?
I'm in a mask. I had a bad toe. They amputated a toe.
Oh, they amputated a toe.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Okay, all right.
And then they had to do another toe because I got a virus. I got a bacteria. It's very aggressive. Now, is it the big virus? They don't know. So anyhow, I want to get into the Eagles prediction and so on.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Natalie will side with me. When you're outside in any type of closest to people, you wear the mask. Tyrone, if you're running and you can run around open free without bumping into people, you don't have to wear a mask. Okay? Because you're too far away. You're 18 feet away. That's the real rule. 18 feet, not 6 feet. And Natalie, she was holed up for almost 2 months because she was afraid. Mm-hmm. So here's the deal. I'm the test tube baby. I'm getting out. I have one more test to go because I over-medicated myself with clindamycin because I was afraid this vicious bacteria was going to take my leg.
Mm-hmm.
It did take my toe. Okay. So now let's get on to the real reason I called.
All right, quickly,
Gene. The Flyers, the Eagles, and you can ask a couple questions of me. Uh-huh. Flyers, the Eagles, and the Sixers. What I'm predicting for their season.
Yeah, go ahead.
You ready?
Yes.
Flyers. I'll be happy if they win one round. I'll be ecstatic if they win two rounds.
Okay.
Is that reasonable?
Reasonable. I think they could do a little better than that, but okay, that's reasonable.
All right, the Sixers, because they got the caveman, 7'1". Okay, and nobody can match up against that man when he's on and he's healthy and he's rested up.
Yeah, Gene, I'm sorry. Yeah, good deal. I got to cut you short because we have to lead into Gary Bettman coming up at 4:30. Let's take a quick break. On the other side, Gary Bettman and the NHL's plan to resume.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 4:30, it is the Mike Missinelli Show, and we're going to give way to, is Jim Jackson coming on, NBC Sports Philly?
Yeah,
all right, so when all that gets rolling, we'll lead you right into Gary Bettman announcing the NHL plan, which we know it to be 2014's involvement playing games until you get to the 16, and then the playoffs would resume the way they're supposed to resume, and the Flyers get the bye. So we're all good on that.
Yeah, and that gives them more practice time. The governor of New Jersey paved the way. Basically, Voorhees and Camden can be open for them to start practicing.
Mm-hmm.
So, at least there's league rules, though, not a lot of stuff yet, but they can start working out at least.
Yeah, and listen, to me, the college situation is really interesting because there are a lot of parents that are freaked out right now as far as getting their kids back to school. And that means the football teams have to get there earlier, so they can't really start practicing unless there's a definite statement on whether kids can come back, right?
No.
I guess, right?
No.
What are they?
No. Oh. They don't care about your kids. They basically, all the conferences are saying June 5th, it's voluntary, but you know in college football, everything they say is voluntary is mandatory. They'll be practicing. They'll start working out June 5th, and that's it.
So college football season will get underway at the exact time it's supposed to get underway.
Oh, I don't know that for sure.
With no fans?
I don't know that for sure. But I think that they're planning on starting because of the money.
Okay. All right. Anyway, here's Gary Bettman with the NHL's plan to continue.
Clear that the health and safety of our players, coaches, essential support staff, and our communities are paramount. While nothing is without risk, ensuring health and safety has been central to all of our planning so far and will remain so. Let me assure you that the reason we are doing this is because our fans are telling us in overwhelming numbers that they want us to complete the season, if at all possible. And our players and our teams are clear that they want to play and bring the season to its rightful conclusion. Although we are anxious to get back on the ice, we will not do anything until we are assured by medical professionals and the relevant government authorities that it is safe and prudent to do so. I want to thank Executive Director Don Fehr, Special Assistant to the Executive Director Matthew Schneider, and all members of the NHL Players Association, particularly players Ron Hainsey, Connor McDavid, Mark Scheifele, John Tavares, and James Van Riemsdyk, who were part of our joint return to play committee. It took a great deal of collaborative effort to get where we are today, and their insight, input, wisdom, and passion for our game and its traditions were essential to the process that produced the plan I'll now outline. I also want to thank Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly and league staff and medical personnel who worked tirelessly to craft this plan, and the members of the NHL Board of Governors who once again put aside personal preferences to approve a plan that we believe is fair to all of the teams and our best option under the circumstances. It will enable the best playoffs in all the sports to honor our history and produce a champion worthy of claiming the most treasured trophy in all of sports. Now to our return to play plan. When the given go-ahead from the medical experts and the relevant government authorities is given, 24 of our 31 teams will resume play, the top 12 in each conference as ranked by percentage points from our standings as they stood through the games of March 11th when we paused our season as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. The remaining seven teams will enter the draft lottery, which I will discuss in detail later. For purposes of nomenclature, record keeping and NHL awards, the 2019-20 regular season has been deemed to be completed. We will resume play and conduct the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs in two hub cities that will be identified and announced at a later date. One will be the site for the resuming Eastern Conference clubs. The other will play host to the resuming Western Conference clubs. Each will have secure arenas, practice facilities, hotels, and local transportation for our players, coaches, and essential staff. We expect that our clubs will be permitted to travel a maximum of 50 personnel to their hub city. A very limited number of support staff will be able to access the event level at each venue. A comprehensive system of testing will be in place in each hub city. We are currently in phase one of our pause, during which clubs have been instructed to self-isolate as much as possible and have done so. In early June, we expect to be able to enter phase two, during which clubs can return to their individual practice facilities for voluntary small group on and off ice training. Yesterday, we released a comprehensive protocol that will govern how we will operate in phase two. Phase three of our return to play plan will be the opening of formal training camps. The timing of our entry into phase three again will be determined by guidance from medical and civil authorities. While we are anxious to open camps as soon as possible, we don't envision doing so before the first half of July. Finally, when appropriate, we will move to phase four, in which our participating clubs will report to their respective hub cities and we will resume play. Obviously, we anticipate playing over the summer and into the early fall. At this time, we are not fixing dates because the schedule of our return to play will be determined both by developing circumstances and the needs of our players. For various reasons, we are also not announcing at this time which two cities will serve as our hubs. Things are evolving rapidly, and when we decide on locations, we want it to be on the best available information at the time that we need to make that determination. In the meantime, I can say we have narrowed the choices to a number of cities that as of today include Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Vancouver. There are no shortage of candidates that can help us do this. Again, the final determination will depend on COVID-19 conditions, testing availability, and government regulations. The top four teams in each conference will claim automatic berths in the first round of the playoffs. They will play intra-conference round robins, each playing the other three teams to determine their respective seeds in the first round. These games will be played with regular season overtime and shootout rules, with ties in the final standings broken by regular season points percentage. The remaining eight teams in each conference will play in best of five qualifying round series to determine which four in each conference advance to the first round of the playoffs. The matchups for these series, again, are based on points percentage at the time of the pause. These games will be played with playoff overtime rules. Once the round robins and qualifying rounds are completed, we will conduct conference-based playoffs in each hub city. The winners of the qualifying round robins will advance to the first round with each opposing one of the round robin teams. Since we have endeavored to be sensitive to players' preferences, the matchups for the first round series remain to be set as the return to play committee is still discussing whether to determine them through seeding or via a bracket. In addition, the return to play committee is still discussing the lengths of the first and second round series and whether the second round matchups will be determined through seeding or via bracket. In any scenario, the conference finals and Stanley Cup final will be best of seven. The sites of the conference finals and Stanley Cup final remain to be determined, although based on what we know today, we expect those series to be played in one of the two hub cities. We believe we can get the qualifying and first two rounds of the playoffs completed in little over a month. Here are the 12 teams that will be resuming play in the Eastern Conference and assigned to Hub City 1. These are the 12 clubs that will be resuming play in the Western Conference and assigned to Hub City 2. In the Eastern Conference, the top four teams by points percentage at the time of the pause who will play round-robin games to determine their playoff seeding are the Boston Bruins, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Washington Capitals, and the Philadelphia Flyers. The qualifying round series matchups in the Eastern Conference are as follows. Number 5 Pittsburgh Penguins versus number 12 Montreal Canadiens. Number 6 Carolina Hurricanes versus number 11 New York Rangers. Number 7 New York Islanders versus number 10 Florida Panthers. And number 8 Toronto Maple Leafs versus number 9 Columbus Blue Jackets. In the Western Conference, the top four teams by points percentage at the time of the pause who will play round robin games to determine their playoff seeding are the St. Louis Blues, the Colorado Avalanche, the Vegas Golden Knights, and the Dallas Stars. The qualifying round series matchups in the Western Conference are as follows. number 5 Edmonton Oilers versus number 12 Chicago Blackhawks, number 6 Nashville Predators versus number 11 Arizona Coyotes, number 7 Vancouver Canucks versus number 10 Minnesota Wild, and number 8 Calgary Flames versus number 9 Winnipeg Jets. Now to the 2020 NHL Draft Lottery. This is a bit complicated, as if what I've already told you hasn't been, and I apologize for that. The draft lottery will determine which clubs make the first 3 selections in the 2020 NHL Draft, and it will be conducted in 1 or 2 phases, depending upon the results of the various draws. The 7 clubs that did not resume play and the 8 qualifying round clubs that do not advance into the playoffs will enter the draft lottery. At the time of the first phase draws, we won't know which 8 teams won't advance from the qualifying round. So we have designated temporary placeholders with the odds that the collective group would have had. Phase 1 draws will be conducted on June 26th prior to the round robins and qualifying round. There will be 3 separate draws to determine which clubs possess the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd overall selections in the 2020 NHL Draft. Each will include the 7 non-resuming clubs and 8 placeholder teams that have not yet won a draw. If any draw is won by one of the 7 non-resuming teams, that club or the club to which that first round pick was traded gets that selection. If all 3 draws are won by non-resuming clubs, there will be no need for a phase 2. Should any of the 3 draws not be won by a non-resuming club, we will conduct a phase 2 before the conference quarterfinals. At that point, the assignment of the remaining top 3 selections will be determined through draws, including only the qualifying round clubs that fail to advance. For any and all phase 2 draws, all teams involved will have the same odds of winning. Once the top 3 selections are determined, all remaining clubs will be slotted in reverse order of their 2019-20 points percentage. Let me give you some explanation. The format was adopted in order to maintain the distribution of lottery winning odds that were in place entering the 2019-20 season. In other words, teams that do not resume play have the same odds of claiming one of the top 3 selections as they would have had if the 2019-20 schedule had been completed. You can see those odds here. As previously stated, all clubs involved in any phase 2 draw as a group will have the same odds of winning. For a possible first of such draws, each club would have 12.5% chance of winning, 1 in 8, which means each of the losing clubs in the qualifying round would have, in effect, a 3% chance of winning the first overall pick. Obviously, these are extraordinary and unprecedented times. Any plan for the resumption of play, by definition, cannot be perfect. And I am certain that depending on which team you root for, you can find some element of this package that you might prefer to be done differently. But we believe we have constructed an overall plan that includes all teams that, as a practical matter, might have had a chance of qualifying for the playoffs when the season was paused. And this plan will produce a worthy Stanley Cup champion who will have run the postseason gauntlet that is unique to the NHL. Let me reiterate, while we are hopeful, it is our goal that we will be able to resume play and award the Stanley Cup. We intend to do so within a time frame that will enable us to get back to a full calendar for the 2021 season. At the same time, we remain focused on the safety of our players, coaches, support staff, and arena personnel. We will not set dates, choose sites, or begin to play until we know it is appropriate and prudent and are approved to do so. As we seek some return to normalcy, this is an important day, particularly for NHL fans. Since March 12th, we have been hopeful and optimistic that by developing all options and alternatives, we could get to this point. I know I join sports fans everywhere when we say we cannot wait for our players to hit the ice again. And I look forward to the greatest privilege of all, presenting the most storied and coveted trophy in all of sports to the captain of the 2019-20 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So that was Gary Bettman and the plan to resume. Now, let me just get this straight. I didn't hear specifics on the round robin for the top four
So it's not really a buy. Apparently,
they have to play in there for their seating. But where do they have to play? Like, how long will that series be? I didn't get that.
It's just each team's going to play each other. So basically, it's four teams. Mm-hmm. So Flyers will play Boston, whatever the top four teams, the other top
Boston,
three.
Boston, Tampa Bay, Capitals, Flyers.
So they'll play each one of them, and then everybody's going to play everybody one time.
Okay.
And then whoever has
the best record,
will be the 1-2, and it will have ties. So yeah. The all important point and all that kind of stuff. So
okay. That'll
be 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then everybody else is playing for 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Okay, yes.
That's what the best of five series are for 5, 6, 7,
right,
8.
So right now it'll be the Penguins and the Montreal Canadiens, New York Rangers against Carolina, Islanders against the Panthers, Toronto against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Now, interestingly enough, he mentioned, like, what, 8 cities?
Yes.
That were still vying for being a hub city?
Mm-hmm.
Philly, not one of them, but Pittsburgh is.
Yeah. Yes.
That's weird, isn't it?
I thought so, too.
It is weird. It seems like the speculation is they didn't want to go to Florida because the NBA is going to be in Florida. So, and that's a bunch of bodies and a bunch of resources, so that took Florida out. I'm 99% sure Vegas is going to be the West.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Well, it makes sense that Philly is not on the list just because of the impact that the virus has had here. I didn't think that they were going to go to a major city but Chicago's on there, so.
And Edmonton's on there, and there's been a lot of people thinking that putting the East in Canada would be a big money play for the league. And I would not be shocked if the Flyers are playing in Canada.
Okay. All right. So the good news, I guess, is that the Flyers have a chance to be the number one seed.
Yep. Worse than four, which they are right now.
Yes, and get home ice advantage throughout the rest of the playoffs. I don't know in the NHL whether that means that much.
Last shift. You get to the last shift pair.
Of course. The last shift.
I think I'm trying to, because you'll be in a hub city, but at least you get to pick the last pair.
The final change.
The final change.
Hockey people will tell you that that's all important.
Well.
So, okay. All right. Well, there you go. So that's Gary Bettman laying it out there. So the top 12 in each conference make the playoffs. Seven teams that don't make playoffs get the draft lottery by that convoluted system he tried to describe. Santa Clara playoffs will be in two hub cities, one for the East, one for the West. 50 personnel traveling party.
Max.
To the hub city. Testing, obviously, goes without saying. There's had to be a testing protocol. And in June, the clubs return voluntary training sessions at their training facilities. Opening of training camps formally second half of July, it sounded like.
Yeah.
And then after which the clubs will report to the hub cities. So you just heard it. So at least there's a definite plan there.
Yep, and I guess the only variable left will be best of 5 or best of 7 in the first 2 rounds. And I think that's going to depend on the timetable. If they move quick, like let's say they get everything started earlier in July, they'll have time for best of 7s. If not, those first 2 rounds may be best of 5, which adds another wrinkle to the hockey playoffs.
Yeah, didn't he say best of 5 would definitely be the first round?
That's for the either or, right? Yeah, that best of 5 was for the play-in situation.
Yeah.
I'm talking about once the Flyers, like they go to, let's say the Flyers end up with the 1 seed and they're playing the 8 seed.
Yeah.
That first series could be 5 or 7.
Okay.
We don't know yet. The play-in games will definitely be
5.
Will definitely
Pittsburgh,
be 5.
Montreal, that.
Those will be five. Yes. But also, the Flyers' first one could also be, once after the round robin, it also could be five as well. But that, I think, will depend on the timetable. So right. I do like that they're leaving some room.
Yeah. Now, this is interesting because the NHL has thrown the first salvo here. I would expect that the NBA in the next couple of days come out with some kind of a similar plan to at least put it on the board, right?
Yeah, they will. Practice facilities and all that kind of stuff. I think Nat'll have something in her update coming up in a second, a couple minutes. And that'll solve some other things, too, because... Yeah, I think the NBA will have a plan very soon.
All right, Mark Cuban obviously just came out with something. Is that what you're going to put in the update, Nat?
No, I don't have anything on...
Mark Cuban has suggested a plan to the NBA league office that would include all 30 NBA teams playing 5 to 7 regular season games for a play-in tournament to determine the final two playoff seeds. So that was his plan. So
interesting.
That takes care of the local TV money, which is a big bugaboo for these owners. They want that local TV money that does allow that to happen while the games, quote unquote, count.
Yes. Okay, so we'll see what the NBA does now after the NHL. Gary Bettman came out with this proposal. We're behind on a break, right?
Yeah. So what we're going to do is
we're going to take
a call.
Gary Bettman stole our commercial, man.
Yeah. So we're going to take a call. We're going to break it at 54.
Okay.
And then we'll break, we'll make everything up in the 5 o'clock
hour. All right. So 5 o'clock hour is a big hour. Meanwhile, Mark in Philly, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Mark.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Mark? How you doing?
Hey, nothing. How you doing? I wanted to talk a little bit about wearing masks at sporting events.
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, I see that that's the direction. I mean, well, it seems like that's the direction the NFL is going, right?
As far as letting fans in?
I mean, it seems like they're going to want fans, because why else would you run the schedule if you're going to do it with no fans? It just doesn't make sense to have it in those facilities.
Yeah, well, there's only been a couple teams that suggested it. It's not like a league-wide thing. Like, the guy in Miami thinks they could pull it off. He didn't say anything about fans wearing masks.
Well, right, because if you're going to have fans, they wouldn't wear masks. And that's all I was saying, because you were saying about the boardwalk and wearing masks. And I was just thinking, well, the concessions make things go at sporting events. So if you're wearing a mask and you buy a drink, what do you do with your mask? You're going to take your mask off and drink your drink. So,
they're going to do the straw underneath the mask. You can still pull that off. But I think it's interesting whether they would compel.
You straw your beer, Mike?
What's that?
Mike? You straw your beer?
Well, you're going to have to in this situation. What are you going to do? You're going to take off your mask so you can enjoy your beer with a sip? Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, if you don't want to use a straw, don't get the beer.
You can't straw nachos and popcorn.
No, I guess you can't. But so you raised a very interesting situation here. Now, you can't. Yeah. You're probably not going to be able to compel people to wear masks. But I would think in the corridor that maybe you can have some kind of a system where you have to wear a mask in the corridor when you order, but when you get back to your seat, you can drink and eat. I don't know. That's the last thing in my mind. The concession thing is the last thing I was worried about.
Yeah. I know, but I mean, that's a.
Well, you worried about getting chugging sport. Your beer at a game? You gotta get the game first, bro.
I'm just saying, when people go to the game, they want to get the concession.
No, I hear you. That's there's always little wrinkles that they have to iron out.
In football, in the outdoor arenas, they would not require a mask anyway, so you would just eat as normal. The issue will be when the indoor sports resume, or dome stadiums would have different rules.
Yeah, but what about the corridors? That corridor's a dangerous set. It's not exactly open air.
And then you have all the condiments there?
And you got to remember, but the plan would be, in theory, 20,000 people in a corridor built for 70,000 and less crowd. It would literally be less crowded. They would leave all the bathrooms open. So basically, you'd have 25,000 people with 70,000 people worth of options to limit
There ain't no Gumby, no condiment table.
No, that's over. It'll all be freshly squeezed relish.
Packet City.
Yep. Actually, the one game that the Sixers were able to do before it all shut down.
Yeah, I remember that.
They were all gone.
Yeah.
It was all individual packs. You get a little ketchup, a little mustard, and go sit your butt down somewhere. Yeah, no more of that touching stuff. No more. That's over. That might be over
period.
Forever. That might be. That's what they were saying about the all-you-can-eat buffet and everything. Yeah, good riddance.
I'm not a fan of the packet. I can listen. I'll go with the like mustard ketchup. The relish is a packet ripoff.
It's awful. Because you only get like this much relish.
Most of it stays in there.
Yeah, because you can't even get it out.
There should be a 3-to-1 ratio. For every one ketchup or mustard, they should give you 3 relish.
Well, they should be bigger. The packet relish packets should be bigger.
But they do it all in normal.
That's why.
It's mass produced.
You can't even produce
a bigger relish packet.
Yeah,
but you have to do a different machine. What I'm saying is it's the same machine that does the ketchup, mustard, and relish. They just have different ingredients when it seals. That's why they do it the same size.
Yeah.
You have to rig it.
No, you can barely cover half of your hot dog with the relish packet.
3 relish packets, a pain in the butt to open those things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back at 5 o'clock. We're talking about the important stuff, relishing packets. And we'll be doing that at 5 o'clock hour after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.